What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. It is officially here. Weekday CUSA begins today. And to talk more about it, I have with me on the podcast again, Josh Yonas, our Assistant Commissioner of Strategic Communications, joining us again. Josh, thanks so much for being on the program.
Yeah, happy to be here and happy to talk Weekday CUSA. And wondering, at one point, do I have the official co-host title? Or
absolutely for football season, for sure. You might have to fight some other people in this office for it. I'm not going to lie to you. There's some other people who are itching to be on the show. But yeah, bring it on. I like it. I like having someone here to talk to, for sure. But guys, thank you again for listening to another episode here of CUSA Insider. Moved to Thursdays, as we mentioned last week. So make sure you're marking your calendar for Thursdays now for new episodes of CUSA Insider. But just in case you forget, go ahead and subscribe to CUSA Insider on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you're listening so that you never miss a new episode. And follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on Instagram and X. We'll be posting updates over there. So just don't miss any of our new content. So we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about on the show today. As we mentioned, Weekday CUSA, we're going to talk a little bit about that. We do have another Hispanic Heritage Month interview today. We had a special one. We haven't had cross-country student athletes on the show yet. We have two. It's a twofer today. We have brothers Edwin and Christian Rivera from Sam Houston cross-country joining us later in the program. And Josh so graciously stepped up and did that interview for me. As I mentioned, if you've listened to episode zero of the podcast, if you go all the way back, I mentioned that I was your host, but there was a large chance that you were going to hear some other voices on this show at some point because I have two young children and I might have to go pick them up from school when they're sick. And it happened on Tuesday. So he took care of that interview for me. So you'll hear Josh later on with Edwin and Christian. And we've got some other great sports going on right now. Women's soccer, volleyball, cross country, bowling starts up this weekend. We've got men's and women's tennis going on. So lots of fun stuff going on here in Conference USA. So we're going to start out, though, with Weekday CUSA football starting tonight. Really excited to get this underway.
Yeah, so you've got Sam Houston, kind of the new trendy team in Conference USA right now, off to, you know, a hot start right now, coming off that Texas State win. Playing at UTEP in the Sun Bowl, beautiful stadium, on CBS Sports Network this evening at 8 o'clock. So,
yeah, and I think that this contest is going to go in the Bearcats' direction. I mean, if you just look at the way that they've been playing lately, that great win last weekend over Texas State, which I'll talk about a little bit later, but I know the Sun Bowl is a really great place to play, and it's a amazingly beautiful place to play, but I really do think that the Bearcats are going to come out with this win. I just don't know if they can be stopped right now.
Agreed. Yeah, Hunter Watson got Manning Award quarterback of the week, so a nice honor on top of getting our offensive player of the week. Everything's going their way right now, so the run game for them obviously has been the biggest thing, you know, eclipsing 250 yards in each of the last three wins. So I mean, they're clicking really hitting on all cylinders. But, you know, with the return of Weekday CUSA, we had an incredible debut last year. I'll kind of get more into that later. But, we wanted to really hit on some of the games that we were most excited for as we look ahead to this, 18-game slate over the month of October, all nationally televised. Sarah, what are some of the ones that you're really excited to see?
Yeah, so Josh and I sat down and picked our top three Weekday CUSA games to watch this 2024 season. I picked three. He picked three. I may have stolen a few of his, so he may have had to like pick up some others. But I think that we're going to go in rank order, which ones are our favorites to watch, not chronological order. So just so you know, but my number one game to watch for Weekday CUSA is going to be Wednesday, October 16th, 6 p.m. on ESPN2, WKU at Sam Houston.
Yeah,
it was the easy choice for sure. I think it is going to be an incredible game. There's going to be a lot of offense. I cannot wait to watch this one. As we mentioned, Sam Houston tonight in their first Weekday CUSA contest. That's going to be at 8 p.m. on the CBS Sports Network tonight. But after that game, hopefully come out with a win, and then they're off until this game on October 16th. So they will get back into the locker room, get back to the playbook, figure out anything that they need to take care of. They have a lot of days worth of practice to watch film on WKU and really like know what they're all about before they get to this game at home on October 16th. That was a fun place to play on a weekday, even with their record last year. Michael Barker, who's with CFB Campus Tours, told me that that was one of his absolute favorite weekday games to be at. The tailgating on a Tuesday was awesome. And so there's going to be a great atmosphere for this game. And we mentioned Hunter Watson right now doing incredible things there as the quarterback. Won our Offensive Player of the Week, won the Manning Star of the Week award this week, which is a national award that is voted on by, like, you know, fans can go and vote on that one. So a lot of times I feel like, you know, they end up leaning in the Power Five direction because it is a fan vote. But people looked and saw that Hunter Watson was incredible in that game versus Texas State over the weekend. So there's some other things that I'm watching for that game. I mean, on the top side of the ball, obviously now I don't know what's going to happen with TJ Finley, but for right now, Caden Veltkamp is QB1, yep. And he is also playing lights out football. So they had a great game this past weekend against Boston College, and that's all I'm going to say about it because it was very sad. So, him and Keyshawn Johnson, Elijah Young, they have that offense firing on all cylinders. And Sam goes into that game, if they win against UTEP tonight, they're 5-1. They go into that game with a chance to clinch bowl eligibility with their sixth game, but the Tops are not going to let it happen super easy. They're not just going to lay down. The WKU defense, too, which I don't think a lot of people are talking about as much this year, is doing amazing things. They're ranked fourth nationally in red zone defense, seventh nationally in fumble recoveries, 16th nationally in turnovers gained. There's a lot to talk about always with that high-flying WKU offense, but on the defensive side of the ball, that is definitely something that we are going to want to watch in that game. And then one more note on Sam Houston. I love good fundamental football. My husband was a football coach for a long time. He coached high school football. And so when I watch games with him, we talk fundamentals. And Sam Houston has the 8th fewest penalties in the nation. So they are not getting penalized. They're playing good, sound football. And I'm really excited to see how this one turns out. I'm not going to make a score prediction or a win-loss prediction because somebody's going to find me and put me on Old Takes Exposed, and I don't want that to happen, but it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, and when you just look ahead to the end of the season, I mean, the amount of title implications that this is going to have, for both teams, because I think both teams are in this race right now for not only participating in the Conference USA Championship, but potentially hosting.
Yeah.
So this carries a lot of weight as you look ahead to tiebreakers later in the season. But yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll add too on Sam Houston with the penalties is, yeah, I mean, that's an easy thing to just be like, yep, they rank in, towards the bottom there, or I guess towards the top in fewest penalties. But when you really think about that, I mean, when you're not shooting yourself in the foot, you know, setting yourself up at 1st and 15 or, you know, a 3rd and long, and you're making your job easier on the field and, you know, for the offense or for the defense, you know, whichever way those penalties are going, if you're, you know, giving up a bad pass interference on a 3rd down and extending drives. So, yeah, the more that you can trim down on those kind of things, the easier it's going to make to win football games. And they've done that so far.
Yeah, I mean, you just think about how they won against Texas State. Like, that last drive of the game could have gone a totally different direction. Nerves, game on the line. I mean, you look at a lot of teams in that situation, there's false starts. There's there's flags flying all over the field because people are nervous and they're jumping and everything. So the fact that they came out, won that game. Huge notch in their belt for sure.
Good on KC for keeping the boys disciplined.
Absolutely. I expect nothing less out of him for sure. So that is my number one. I don't know if you want to share your number one next or if you want me to just keep going down the line, but.
Yeah, I'll jump in with mine. Another one that might be underrated again as we look into the title race here. Jack State at Liberty. Now, at the beginning of the season, obviously, this game was probably one of the top 3 games of the season for us, at least in the conference slate. But, you know, I expect a lot of points in this one. Jack State, averaging around 30 points per game. Liberty's at about 33 points per game. So you're really looking north of that 60, 62, over under in that game. But with Liberty set to face WKU and Sam Houston in the last 2 weeks of the season, this kind of marks their biggest weekday CUSA test.
Yeah.
But, you know, they get this one at home. That's, you know, kind of a point of pride for them, is winning home games. But again, you know, this is one where if you're a Liberty hater, which I know there's probably plenty out there, you look at this one especially as, okay, well, you know, Jack State, Rich Rod could go in there and you know, shock them a little bit. But this one kind of poses a great quarterback matchup between Caden Salter and Tyler Huff, who I think you'll touch on a little bit more. But the top two quarterbacks in the league in passing efficiency, yards per completion, and total offense, both can move the ball really well. You know, Salter hasn't been as involved in the run game this year, but we know what he can do.
Absolutely.
You know? But Tyler Huff, on the other hand, he's right there behind Hunter Watson in terms of quarterback, you know, rushing yards per game. So, I expect a really fun one between the two of them in that game.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. I mean, Jacksonville State got off to a little bit of a slow start, but this game could still have title implications for sure. Like, yeah. I mean, right now at the top of our league, it is kind of muddied. These weekday CUSA games are really going to determine a lot as we head into the final month of the season. But my number two also involves Jacksonville State, and it comes up this Friday, actually, Friday, October 4th, 6 p.m. on CBS Sports Network against Kennesaw State at home for the Owls. So when I talked to Milton Overton, the Kennesaw State AD, back in July, he called this game the Border War, which I don't know if that has caught on or not, but the hate on Twitter that is going around this week. I mean, it is Jack State and Kennesaw State hate week for the opposite team. Like, they are going at it online right now. And I love to see that. I love a good rivalry game. And this is not really that historic of a game. They've only played four other times. Kennesaw State leads 3-1. The games that they've played, there was a 5 overtime game, I think, back in 2018. Mm-hmm. There was an overtime game in 2022 before Jacksonville State made the jump over into FBS. Like, these teams do not like each other at all. And I love to see it. So I'm excited about seeing how this game goes. Obviously, I mentioned before, Jacksonville State off to a little bit of a rocky start this year, but I think they found their quarterback in Tyler Huff. He's doing really well in these last couple of games. I mean, also coming off of a game against Southern Miss, winning 44-7 with a lot of offense, I think 509 yards of total offense. And then they went on to into a bye week, too. So they've had a lot of film on Kennesaw State, who unfortunately has not gotten off to the best start here in their first year in the league. But rivalry game, man, anything can happen for sure. And it's at home for Kennesaw State. There's going to be a lot of gold and black in the stands, no doubt. But because there's only like 85 miles between the two schools, or there's going to be a lot of red in the stands probably too. And so I'm really interested to see how the matchup between Rich Rod's squad and Bohannon's squad match up against each other. But I do think that Jacksonville State might come out on the top of this one. I'm not one to make huge, big predictions, but just based on what we've seen so far this season, I think this rivalry game will go Jacksonville State's way. And so we'll just have to see what Kennesaw State can do at home.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Kennesaw, they definitely won't make it easy on them. They're really excited for this game. Just seeing, you know, their fans, you know, getting amped up on Twitter, just being on national television. It's their first Conference USA home game. There's a lot of pageantry around this. So I think that'll translate a little bit on the field, you know, get the guys a little more fired up. But I'm with you. You know, I think Jack State, again, you know, even though they're off to a slow start, the momentum that they have coming off of that big win over Southern Miss, that should carry them into league play.
Yeah. And one note that you had in your weekly release this week that I do want to share with our listeners, though, is an interesting one. So Kennesaw State's defense has forced a league high 5 fumbles through the first 4 weeks of the season. But Jacksonville State is a team that has allowed the fewest fumbles in the league with 1, and the fewest turnovers on the year with 5 in Conference USA. So that is really going to be something to watch, I think. Can Kennesaw State get some turnovers out of the Gamecocks, or are the Gamecocks going to do what they've done so far this season and protect the ball?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, what's your number two?
My number two, and this was tough, because I had to kind of weigh the, you know, the off the field versus the on the field. But Sam Houston at FIU, Tuesday, October 22nd. It is Vice Night.
Woo-hoo!
And I think since that Pitbull announcement, this was the one that we've all been really looking forward to, because he I'm 99% sure he is set to make an appearance at this game.
I assume so.
Yeah. That was kind of the thing around that announcement. And they're releasing the uniforms tonight. We're recording this on Thursday, but it'll be out at 8 p.m. this evening. So we'll get a look at how the Panthers will look in that game. Obviously really excited for that as well.
Yeah, which, but if it was anything like last season's, like, is it gonna go viral again? Who knows? I mean, blew that thing out of the water.
I shouldn't say this is their Super Bowl, but this is the one time a year where their athletic department is pulling out all the stops.
Yeah, they got lots of eyeballs on them.
I'm sure that all the, you know, the media heads on Twitter for college football will be, you know, blowing up when those uniforms come out tonight. So, but when you on the field, when you look at this matchup, last year went to double overtime in Huntsville. And Sam Houston had two heartbreaking overtime losses in weekday CUSA. And you know, we go back to just how tough that 0-8 start was last year, and just the insane 180 that they have pulled since then. They end up winning three of the last four last year. And, you know, again, we've talked about how hot their start has been this year. So, you know, I don't know if that was the turning point where it really was just like, you know, that last punch in the gut that they needed. But when you look at the rosters this year, you got a couple guys that were really heavily involved in that game. Noah Smith had a pair of touchdowns in that game. And last year, Noah Smith was wide receiver one. You know, we talked about how good this wide receiver room is for Sam Houston. Noah Smith really hasn't been that active in the offense.
Yeah.
They now have the return of Ife Adeyi and the breakout of Quavez Humphreys.
Right.
I mean, Noah Smith is now the, you know, third or fourth best target in this offense. But we know that, I mean, he led the league in receptions.
Yeah, we know what he can do
last year.
Yeah.
So that's not a testament to how truly incredible that wide receiver room, that'll tell you right there. But and then Kiwon Jenkins on the other side, the quarterback for FIU, you know, then a freshman for the Panthers, had a pair of touchdowns, both of them in overtime to lead them to that victory. So, you know, there's already a lot of, you know, again, this is a new, I don't want to call it a rivalry, but, you know, playing for that first time last year with Sam Houston joining the league, you know, those guys already have a little bit of edge, you know, to this one, after how close last year's was. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. I mean, I remember talking to some players, at Football Media Day from Sam Houston, and they were like a little bit excited to be there for Vice Night. And so I'm interested, though, to see like how that translates, because hopefully they don't, you know, get a little overexcited and drop one there in Miami when they're trying to go for a CUSA title. So
yeah, regardless of the outcome, it will be a vibe.
It will be definitely the vibes will be high for sure. All right. Well, let me finish out my top three. We had a lot of lengthy discussion because I took some of Josh's favorite games, and so he had to find some other favorites, and then
we've got plenty of good ones to choose from.
We have a lot of good ones to choose from, and it's like, what do we go, storyline on the field, storyline off the field? What are we gonna do? Okay, so my number three that I picked is Thursday, October 10th, 7 p.m. CBS Sports Network. I picked Middle Tennessee at Louisiana Tech. So I'm calling this game the litmus test for these two as they go through the rest of the season. So this is their next game that those two programs are going to play. They're both 0-1 in Conference USA right now. They will both go and play after this game two programs the following week that, regardless of how this week's games go, will have losing records as well. And so I think that this game is going to be, can the Bulldog, which team, the Bulldogs or the Blue Raiders, which team can get to 500?
Yeah.
And so I think that that's going to be a tough matchup for those two. Louisiana Tech has been pretty good at home this year. Excited to see if they can keep that rolling. Middle Tennessee, their offense is still really, really good. And I don't think that people realize that because the opponents that they've been up against have shown them up in some areas. But Nick Fadiato is a good quarterback. He is doing some good things. And then Amari Kelly has been very good as well. So they lost some really good players on the defensive side of the ball, which I think has affected them pretty heavily there for Derek Mason's squad. But on the flip side of that, Louisiana Tech's defense has been really, really good. So we'll have to see how this goes. But the Bulldog defense has not allowed a fourth down conversion at all so far this season. They lead the nation in that. And then they're ranked in the top 25 in two other defensive categories. First down defense, they're 21st in the nation. Red zone defense, they're 25th in the nation. And then they're 12th in the nation for tackles for loss. So that defensive side of the ball for Louisiana Tech is looking really good. The offensive side of the ball for the Blue Raiders is definitely their strong point. So having those two strengths go against each other, we'll have to see who comes up on top for that one. So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that. I forgot special teams. How can I forget special teams with Louisiana Tech? Buck Buchanan,
yep.
That guy can kick a ball.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If the game comes down to a field goal for Louisiana Tech, I mean, you can't doubt that he's going to bank it in and win it for the Bulldogs. So I think this is going to be a really close game just based on the strengths versus weaknesses for each squad. And I think it'll be a huge test for Derek Mason and Sonny Cumbie's team. So we'll have to see who comes out on the top of that one.
Yeah, well, and that leads kind of perfectly into mine. So I have La Tech at New Mexico State. So one that you kind of alluded to there. So La Tech will turn around and play at New Mexico State on October 15th at 8 p.m. Central on ESPNU. But again, this could be another defining game for La Tech down the stretch and for New Mexico State, too, depending on, you know, how they fare between now and then. But, you know, some projections had La Tech as a fringe bowl team, you know, through the first few weeks, but they've lost three straight now. You know, they get Middle at home next Thursday, but then they turn around and play on the road at New Mexico State. So a big road test that could make them 3-3 heading into the second half of the season. So then you look at it and it's like, OK, you split the front half. Now you just have to split the back half
right
to that bowl eligibility or potentially only have to win two games, you know, if you know things line up right and we can get a 5-7 team in. But you know, going to your point on La Tech's defense, I mean, that's what's kept them in games, and it matches with the New Mexico State offense that has been kind of inconsistent so far this year. So I would definitely give La Tech the edge on that side of the ball, you know, kind of right now. But again, this was another spectacular finish in 2023 after New Mexico State came back from down 16-3. They went on to win 27-24. So just goes to show, I know it was tough to pick some games, and I'm sure maybe there are games that we think are going to be blowouts that end up
and
not,
they're
not the case.
You never know when we face the USA.
Yeah. And I mean, that was the case last year. So in 2023, out of 19 total games, we had 9-1 possession games.
That's awesome.
Two of them that went to overtime, you know, that we talked about, both home losses for Sam Houston. But here's a couple extra points. So road teams outscored the home teams by an average of 3.7 points.
Okay.
And the road teams were 12-7 in last year's weekdays USA.
Alrighty.
So road teams were dominating.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you look at some of these games, and again, going back to my first one, Jack State at Liberty, that's kind of when I saw those notes, I was like, well, that makes that one a whole lot more interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that one's, you know, at the tail end of weekday CUSA. So, you know, Jack State has a chance to turn things around over the next couple weeks, you know, maybe get to that 500 or above 500 mark before they play Liberty. If things are going their way and you have that trend of how the road teams have done in weekday CUSA, I don't know.
Anything can happen. Yeah, we're so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Face USA, like we mentioned. I have on a very special T-shirt that we have been distributing to our staff here, some ADs, some marketing departments there at our schools to support. It says, make weekdays fun again. That's our goal as Conference USA in the month of October, is to make weekdays fun again. If you've been online a lot in the last couple of days, there have been several tweets out there. A lot of them have different numbers in them. I have not counted how many days. I think 53. I'm like,
yeah.
Why are we getting this number?
It's all over the place.
But I can tell you that between right now, today, and November 27th, we have football every single day of the week, whether it be NFL or college football. And we're very excited to be a huge part of that. So
y'all are welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. So getting ready for weekdays USA. Before we move on from football, one thing I did want to mention, obviously Liberty at App State canceled this past weekend due to the effects of Hurricane Helene. And for those of you listening and wondering what you can do, App State Athletics did post on their Twitter account earlier this week a donations link for the folks there in Boone, North Carolina, if you would like to submit any funds or do anything to help with that hurricane relief effort. I think that would be a great place to go and support. Our heart goes out to those in Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, and Virginia and Atlanta and Georgia and all those places that have been affected, a lot of which are in Conference USA's geographical footprint. So the world is bigger than just football. So I did want to share that before we moved on. All right. Well, we've got some other sports here to cover. Like we mentioned, women's soccer in full swing right now. But there was a really fun announcement before we get to that for basketball earlier this week. And basketball is just around the corner. This announcement, however, is not just around the corner.
A few years.
Just a few years. So just came out yesterday that Conference USA, in coordination with the Dallas Sports Commission and the American Airlines Center, will be hosting the 2028 Men's NCAA Men's Basketball Regional here in Dallas. We are super excited to be a part of that. Josh and I were talking about it yesterday. We'll be here, baby.
I feel compelled to stick around for more years now. So
I'm super excited to have the opportunity to do that. Love that men's basketball March Madness is coming back here to the Lone Star State, to American Airlines Center. My very first year when I worked here, I worked the first and second rounds there. It was super fun. Excited to do it again. And just a huge opportunity for us as a conference to be able to host that. So very excited.
And shout out to them. You know, they got an opportunity to host the South Regional this past year in 2024. So to be able to come, you know, come full circle, get that again in 2028 will be great. And, you know, for us especially, yeah, I mean, I think this is the first time that we get the chance to host an NCAA tournament game on the men's side.
Yep.
I had to ask around to some of the people, the veterans in the office. CUSA actually first hosted a women's basketball regional at the Reunion Arena. So for those of you in Dallas who know, that was the old arena before they built American Airlines Center. Was still being used and open in 2007. I don't know why I had a feeling that it had closed down way before that.
I'm not from here. I don't know.
So, a really cool opportunity, and I'm looking forward to whoever is here to help with that, and to the American Airlines Center for getting that.
Yeah, listen, if this podcast is still around and I'm still around in 4 years, maybe we'll do an episode on what it's like to host an NCAA basketball tournament. Super excited about that. But transitioning over into women's soccer, which conference play is in full swing now. But we had a huge matchup this past weekend against FIU and Liberty at home in Lynchburg. And the Panthers shocked them. Man, Liberty was
not
undefeated.
Just 2-1, 1-0.
No, 3-0. It was a rainy, rainy game. We were watching the highlights of it. It looked awfully nasty. But the Panthers came out, blanked the Flames. One goal off the foot of Catherine Rapp at the beginning, followed by two back-to-back goals from Noemi Packin. So FIU now leads the way in Conference USA with two wins. So we've got about a month left in the season before the Women's Soccer Championship on November 6th down in Miami. And it's still anybody's game. It's still super early, but FIU looks really, really good.
Yeah, and what a run of form right now for Noemi Packin, because she has 7 goals in her last 3 matches. She had obviously 2 in this last match. Match before that, she had a hat trick. Match before that, she had another 2 goals. So she's got 8 goals on the year. But yeah, I mean, she is probably one of the hottest players in the country right now.
Yeah.
Just with her, box scores the last few games. But there's a lot that could change going into this next weekend, because New Mexico State goes on the road to play at FIU and at Liberty. So 3 teams that are all towards the top there, that are all in this title race. We're going to learn a lot about who, the true contenders are after these next couple matches.
I love it when a schedule turns out that way.
It's great.
It's so nice. Yeah. On the flip side, on the football side, I don't always love it when a game that could decide the CUSA championship ends up on the last weekend of the season.
Yeah.
But this is really fun for women's soccer. So, excited to see how those games end up coming out this upcoming weekend, and we may have a new number one in the standings next week. We'll have to see.
Who knows? But shifting gears to volleyball, so they started conference play this past weekend. Got a handful of teams that are 2-0 to start league play, coming off of last weekend's results. But you have 2-0 teams that square off this weekend with Sam Houston at UTEP, and UTEP's one that we talked about on the podcast here before. Potentially WKU is 2-0 as well, so they're right there in that mix. But UTEP being one of those teams that you know, we're still trying to figure out, like, could they be a legitimate team that dethrones WKU? We might find out a little bit more about them after this weekend's games. They play Sam Houston. They host Sam Houston on Friday and Saturday. So, and then I saw a note right before we hopped on the podcast, and I definitely wanted to give just kind of a shout out to the program there. But Kathy Dixon, who is very important to the UTEP volleyball program, unfortunately passed away. She was a member of the first volleyball and women's basketball teams at UTEP. So an incredible pillar when you talk about women's athletics at UTEP. And so, you know, the UTEP's volleyball coach had quote tweeted kind of the announcement and, you know, was saying they were going to be playing extra hard for her this weekend, because again, just extremely important to that program.
Yeah, absolutely. Our heart goes out to the players and families affected by that. And thank you for sharing that note.
Yeah, and then just kind of wrapping up, you know, what we've got going on with fall sports right now. Cross country, we are 30 days from the conference championship coming up on
first one of the season.
Yeah, first conference championship of the season. It's absolutely insane that I'm saying we're 30 days away
from
championship season, but. So, you know, really excited for that one. They'll be in Jacksonville, Alabama on November 2nd. But, you know, kind of leads us right into the interview that I got the pleasure to fill in for with Christian Edwin Rivera from the Sam Houston cross country program. Just a really fun story. I'm really looking forward to everyone getting a chance to learn more about them and their story. So y'all enjoy the interview with the Rivera brothers. Joining us today on CUSA Insider, we have Sam Houston cross-country student-athletes Christian and Edwin Rivera to talk to us about Hispanic Heritage Month. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Pleasure.
Can you tell a little bit about your heritage and why Hispanic Heritage Month is so important to celebrate?
This month really for me is, it means getting the chance to like honor my family, you know, and our background and what, like, the sacrifices and all the hard work that they put in, like, coming to the States and being able to give us the lives that we have now. So that's really what it means for us, is just being able to honor our family and our family name, really. Yeah, and just to add on that, just the amount of sacrifices our parents and grandparents made for us to be here, and the opportunity they're giving us to be in college and running and like helping us pay for college, like, it's an honor, and we want to give something back to them, like earn something, like they had to earn their way up, obviously. And yeah,
that's awesome. And Christian, I saw that, you know, a graphic went out with a quote that you said, "My heritage is less about representing myself and more about honoring my family and all the sacrifices they've made for me." Could you just kind of elaborate on that a little bit more and just share how that, you know, family aspect is fueled and motivated you?
Yeah. So, like I said, like really like them, my family coming to the States, like we were born and raised here. So, and we haven't actually been back home to where our families are from. So really like everything that I know about our culture and like our heritage, it comes from my parents and our family and like what they've shown us here. So, I'll be the first to admit that I'm not like the most like was sort of connected, I guess, with my heritage, at least not like maybe as much as other people my age are. But at the same time, like that doesn't mean that I don't have pride in who I am and like my background, because like I said, it's all coming from my family, my parents, my grandparents, and everything that they've done for us. And that's really what it's all about to me.
Yeah, that's really cool. And for our listeners, just tell us, you know, where your parents are from and kind of give us some examples about some of that culture that they've really implemented in the house that you guys have picked up on.
Yeah, so our parents are from this little town in Mexico called San Luis Potosí. And a lot of the things that we've done in the past in the house, we used to live in a house together, like with our cousins, multiple cousins, actually. Our uncles and aunts, and it was awesome, man. We had like 16 different people living in the same house. Well, I mean, my family would share a room. My cousin's family was in a different room. Cousins and my grandparents were in the room, and their separate rooms, obviously. But it was awesome in the past. Like, I kind of miss it. Like, just growing up like that, like, just having a strong connection with my family. And obviously, now we're like in college and like we don't really see each other as much, but we would always get together Thanksgiving, Christmas, celebrate together, no matter what. We did everything together. And I feel like that was a really big part of our tradition. Like, we usually, like, yeah, we just, like, do everything together, support each other, and we're always there for each other, no matter what. Just to piggyback off that, like you mentioned, like, we all used to live in the same one house. And, like, to us growing up, that was normal. Us doing literally everything together, all the holidays, everything, like, that felt normal to us. And then as we grew up and, like, we made friends outside of home and, like, in college now, and, like, just hearing stories of everybody else's background, it's not as normal as we thought. And so I think that's, like, really one of the biggest things about our culture and our background is this, that tight family bond that we have. Really, it's really important.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, my wife and I, both of our parents are divorced. And so when we first started dating and doing holidays, it was driving to four different houses. So I can't even imagine, you know, just the commute for you guys just going down the hallway.
Yeah. It was awesome. And hopefully we can continue that as we get older with our families coming up. Like, once we get married, obviously we're going to want to spend time together. Like, I don't know, switch it, like, spend it at someone else's house 1 year. And then just as long as we're together, it's fine. Like, it'll be
yeah,
fun.
I love that. So what are some ways, you know, now that you guys are off at college, you know, away from families and everything, what are some other ways that you guys are able to stay connected?
Well, really, a lot of the times my parents come over to Huntsville or we have races at A&M nearby, close to home, and they always come here to support us, like, if they can, whatever, every chance they have. Like, even this year, my dad's thinking about coming, traveling all the way to Alabama to come see us run a conference, and, like, that's awesome. We really spend a lot of our time together when they visit, and then also we come back home and visit every once in a while, especially during, like, holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and yeah, we really try to make sure we don't miss any big holidays or any celebrations, birthdays, as much as we can. And I mean, we've been fortunate enough in the past with, like, coaches that have been, like, understanding of that, and, like,
yeah.
Well, like, sometimes allow us, like, miss a practice or something if we have a big family event, because they understand, like, to us how important that is, and how important it was for us growing up, and how it kind of it does affect, like, how we perform as athletes and how we do in school and stuff. It's just ingrained in us, so it's a really big part of us, and that's why, like I said, we've been fortunate enough to be able to continue those things even now as we're not all living together anymore.
Yeah, that's great that the, you know, you have that support and from the school. But with Sam Houston being a Hispanic serving institution, you know, a national recognition for having more than 25% Hispanic enrollment, how important was it that you guys, you know, chose to go there and when you were making that decision based on different schools?
I've always just felt welcome. And, like, that was a big part of why I came, because when I first came on my visit with the track program and everything, like, the first thing I noticed was the family feeling, the camaraderie that there is here. And it's just that was one of the big things that I didn't get on other visits that I went to. So for me, that made a big impact on my decision to come here for sure.
Yeah, well, I never had an official visit, so I didn't really feel that, and I, like, deciding to come here, but one big factor that played into that, like, me deciding to come here was also, like, my brother was here, and my older brother, he's in college somewhere else now, but they were both attending here, and I just thought it would be really fun, and, like, really, it would be awesome being back together with my brothers. They were off for 3 years. I was a freshman in college when they graduated, where my older brother was already graduating. But yeah, it's been awesome being around my older brother again. And then hopefully next year my twin brother comes here. But yeah, it's really nice to have family around when you're out to college, at least some part of your family, because it can be lonely sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Was that kind of an automatic thing when you were getting ready to go to college? You were going to follow Christian?
Some part, yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Yes. Yeah. So how many brothers do you guys have in total?
So it's us two, and then I have an older brother, or I guess he's both our older brother, sorry.
Yeah.
And he has an actual twin brother, so there's four of us in total.
Okay, awesome. And you said the other one runs cross-country as well somewhere?
Yeah, he's at Berlin right now, but hopefully he'll be coming over here to run with us next semester. That's the goal.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be awesome to have all three of the year together.
Yes, sir.
What are some ways that you feel the university really supports Hispanic heritage and just diversity as a whole?
Well, a lot of the times the school hosts like events in the school plaza. And I mean, I remember the last time my parents visited, there was a group of dancers dancing during I think it was during Mexican Independence Day, something like that. And it was really awesome to see that, like, they're actually embracing Mexican culture. And they also have, like, other things, like, they were giving out pan dulce, it's a Mexican treat, that really, we really like it. I mean, I have it, like, if I could, I would have it, like, every day. But, yeah, they always have a bunch of events celebrating certain, like, traditions or, like, heritage, like, cultures, and it's really awesome.
Yeah, that's great. So you guys are student athletes, so I want to discuss the academic side a little bit. What are y'all's majors, and just kind of what are you hoping to get into after you guys are done running?
So this summer I graduated with my undergraduate in kinesiology, and right now I'm getting my master's in kinesiology as well as sport and human performance. And my goal with that is to hopefully become a strength conditioning coach one day in the near future. I did an internship over the summer here with the strength program. And sorry, that ran really well. But yeah, that's kind of my goal moving forward. Yeah, so I'm a sophomore here at St. Houston, and I'm majoring in engineering technology. And my plans, I'm not sure yet, but hopefully I can get a pretty good job with that and like see what the future has for me. But so far, I'm having fun with it. It's really fun, like in the class and lab, doing labs and stuff. But I'm learning a lot right now, and hopefully I can get an internship this summer, see how the workforce works, see how it is in person.
Yeah. Well, you got a couple of years, so yeah, enjoy it now for sure. Well, here on CUSA Insider, we have a segment that we call CUSA Eats, where we talk to our guests about their favorite restaurants in the community. You know, we have fans and administrators from different parts of the country that, you know, will inevitably travel to Huntsville for a game or something. So I'm curious what a couple of your favorite restaurants are in the Huntsville area, and maybe specific dishes, if you want to share that too.
One I've been going to a lot lately, it's called DCG, District Chicken and Gyro here in Huntsville. It's Greek food, so it's kind of ironic that I'm Hispanic here, but I'm talking about Greek food. But no, it's really good. I love it. I eat it like almost every day for lunch. So if you're in town, I would try that out.
I don't remember what it's called, but there was this one spot we recently found like a month ago, and we took our new teammate. His name's Anthony. He transferred here from a different university, and a couple other teammates, and it was actually really good. I got Mexican dish. It's with it's called El Gordo Taqueria. Hispanic. Yeah, Hispanic food. It's actually Hispanic.
Yeah.
But it's actually really nice. It's like, the food's really great. I would recommend going there if anybody comes here. But yeah.
Okay. Awesome. We'll have to write those down for sure. Well, Christian, Edwin, it was great to get to know a little bit more about both of you and talk to you about Hispanic Heritage Month. Best of luck the rest of the season and in college, and hopefully your other brother gets down there to Huntsville soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you having us on.
Thank you again to Edwin and Christian Rivera for joining us here on the program to talk all about Sam Houston cross country and Hispanic Heritage Month. We have another Hispanic Heritage Month interview, our final one, coming up next week with FIU, so be on the lookout for that one. All right, everyone. As we mentioned, Weekday CUSA starts tonight. You can use the hashtag Make Weekdays Fun Again or hashtag Weekday CUSA so that we can see all of your content. Tonight's game is at 8 p.m. Central Time. Sam Houston at UTEP on CBS Sports Network. And then tomorrow, the Border War, Jacksonville State at Kennesaw State, 6 o'clock p.m. on CBS Sports Network as well. And then we start moving into those Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday games next week. So we are very, very excited for that. While we were recording the first part of this podcast, a wonderful video dropped on Twitter, Instagram, social media. And if you have not seen it yet, you need to go find it. So I love a good uniform reveal video. Okay. The Vice Knight Unis for FIU, as we mentioned earlier today, they come out tonight. But if you know me, and I think some of you know me pretty well, I love Big Red. I love Big Red. I have no problem saying that I love Big Red. He is my favorite mascot in America. And WKU just released the greatest uniform of all time. Big Red's eyeballs just on the side of a helmet. It's ridiculous. It's fantastic. I cannot wait for them to wear them next Thursday when UTEP comes to visit them at home in Bowling Green. It's going to be fantastic. So if you haven't seen it yet, go look at the logo or the uniform reveal video, because not only is it awesome, but it's also hilarious and kind of frightening. So definitely go check that out. I'm super excited about it. And while you're there, while you're on social media looking up those videos, go ahead and follow CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram so you never miss an update from us. Go ahead and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you are listening to the show, because we're bringing you lots of new content. We are getting very excited about bringing you the podcast on video here in a few weeks. So just go subscribe so you don't miss out on it. We're very, very excited to get this thing rolling. And thank you so much to the fans out there listening to us so that we can make this possible. All right, everybody. That is all that I have for today. We really appreciate you guys listening, as always, to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.